today, and the title of the public talk is Love Identifies the True Christian Congregation. And I invite Brother Luke Sun to give the talk.
Around the world, many sincere people are searching for true religion. Now, in our ministry, we may come across them, and we notice that sometimes they're disappointed by religions that say one thing, but they practice the opposite of genuine love. And it leaves them confused. It leaves them bitter, sometimes apathetic. So how would you find the truth? So if you're searching for the true Christian congregation, how would you go about doing that? How would you find Jesus' true disciples today? So imagine losing something precious like a wedding band. Say you're at the beach or you're in your garden and it slips off and you can't find it anywhere and you're starting to panic. What do? Well, you get all your friends together and you're like, please come help me find that wedding band. If you know someone with a metal detector, bring them. Yeah. Have them search that area, and you keep on looking, you keep on searching. Try to find anything that looks circular, shiny. Could be my ring. Please help me find it, right? In a similar way, when sincere people are searching for the truth and they're searching for a true Christian congregation, they do the same thing. They keep searching, they keep on looking, and it should be easy to find. Just like seeing that gold band sticking out in the dirt. It's obvious when you see the true religion. And in a sense, that's how it should be for finding true Christianity. We stick out. We are different. We are definitely different. You see, love identifies us as true followers of Jesus Christ. Notice how easy it would be to find true Jesus followers. If you have your Bible, I know you have your Bible. So let's turn with me to John chapter 13 and verse 34 and verse 35. And we'll notice that. So here's the context. On Jesus' last day on earth as a human, he told his very close followers a very important clue that they can use to identify his followers. So notice what's emphasized as we read that together. John chapter 13 and verse 34 and 35. So there we read, I am giving you a new commandment that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love amongst yourself. So, did you notice the key identifier? It's pretty obvious, right? It's love. Christians would have to demonstrate love very, very clearly. They were to love one another. And again, this is not a suggestion. It's a command, as Jesus mentioned. It's a new command that he was giving them. So love identifies Jesus' true followers. And in the early years of Christianity, say 30 or 40 years after Jesus died, true Christians would need to identify each other. So how would they do that? Well, it was based on the way they treated one another. Love would identify them as part of Jesus' congregation. And in a sense, in that context, that love, that identifying mark, it's the same today as it was 2,000 years ago. So where can we find a genuine love today? Well, I'll give you a hint. Where can you find people who show genuine love for one another? Get the hint? It's right here in our congregations and congregations like this all around the world. Jehovah's Witnesses show genuine love for one another. And this morning, we will look at 9 Bible principles that resonates with us. And when we read through it, just reflect on what they're telling us, what they're saying. And it will remind us that we are part of a true Christian congregation. The only unfortunate part is we have less than a half hour to go over the material. So please bear with me as we consider these Bible principles. So we'll look at the second principle that's found in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. I'll invite you to turn with me there. Romans 12 and 10. And we read, in brotherly love, have tender affection for one another, in showing honor to one another, take the lead. So this is a very, very simple principle, right? Have affection for one another, take the lead in honoring one another. Again, if we imagine how beneficial that principle is, if we practice that principle, and if we all live by that principle, can you imagine a situation where one person says, no, after you, no, I insist, after you. No, no, please, let me take the lead in showing you honor and in displaying love. And next time you can do the same. Imagine how much great that would be if we all did that. So we'll notice our first image on our screen in a moment. You'll notice this this mother and daughter, they're visiting a older sister, and perhaps she's going through some distress. And we notice that they are providing genuine love. They are providing practical assistance, meals and food. And notice they're all smiling, right? They are feeling good about that. And they're very happy because they're showing love and sharing with one another. And that makes them very, very happy. Now, think about it. Sometimes when you're sick, say you have a cold or a flu, and someone hears about it and they bring you a warm bowl of chicken soup, how does that make you feel? You just feel better, right? Someone delivers that. Or let's say you're going for a hard time. Somebody hears about it and they're like, you know what? I'm going to make you a meal. And right around 5:30, your doorbell rings and you smell that. It's like, that smells good. And they bring you a pot roast, your favorite. How does that make you feel? You're just going to feel better, right? You're just going to feel, wow, somebody cares. Somebody loves me. I mean, you're still going to be congested. You'll still have a runny nose. You'll still have the ailment. Your leg's probably going to still hurt. You still have that broken bone, but that meal, that's going to make you feel better. Getting that love just makes you feel a whole lot better, right? And that's what we're known for showing love. And we can all relate to this picture. Like, for instance, show of hands. How many here have either made a meal for someone or received a meal from someone? Yeah, exactly. Just as I thought. It's because we display love to one another. So thank you so much for that image. We truly appreciate that when we do that, when we share and we're to demonstrate love that way. Another way that we demonstrate love as a congregation is that we are impartial. For instance, your language, your ethnicity, your level of education, your financial status, no one's going to judge you on that. No one's going to be prejudiced towards you or mistreat you based on a stereotype. For a moment, if you look around, look to your left, look to your right, turn around. Don't really turn around. Look at each other. Do you notice something? We are multicultural. We are multicultural. We're from everywhere around the world, and we all get along. And again, it's because of love. That's what makes us stick together. That's what makes it work, right? We demonstrate love for one another, and we treat one another with kindness. Again, we'll look at another Bible principle, this time Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Galatians 6 and 10. There it says, so then, as long as we have the opportunity, let us work what is good towards all, but especially towards those related to us in the faith. So what does that tell us? Well, when there is a need in our congregation, we demonstrate love in a practical way. For example, in our congregation, we are known for offering practical assistance, right? We help people. We take care of one another, especially when there's a crisis. You don't have to be alone. No one has to be alone in our congregation. Someone will drive you to an appointment. Someone will sit with you at your doctor's. Doesn't matter what you're going through. Someone in your congregation will take care of you. They will be with you through that. Like we mentioned, providing rides to doctor's appointments, providing meals, good comfort food that makes us feel better when we're distressed. It just makes you feel better knowing that you have that support. You have that network of brothers and sisters that look after you. And that's because we all demonstrate love, right? We are there for each other. Sometimes it's just a matter of standing and listening to someone talk, right? They might be going through something and they just need someone to listen to them or hear them. And sometimes you give them a hug, they feel better. Sometimes they just need to cry in front of others. And again, that's very kind. That's very mutually beneficial in our congregation. And that's because we all demonstrate love, right? So when we have love, we have unity, that's what our congregation thrives on. And notice, as we read in Galatians 6 and 10, that that love also extends to non-witnesses. So how do we show love to everyone outside the congregation? Well, we are impartial. We invite everyone to learn about Jehovah. Again, their language, their education, their ethnic background, we're not going to be prejudiced towards them. We're not going to look down on them and judge them based on a stereotype. Their appearance, it truly does not matter. We preach to everyone. Look at an example in the Bible. The Apostle Paul, Peter, he had a temporary struggle with being prejudiced. The account is found for us in Acts chapter 10. And in the context, new Christians who were Jewish, some of them had that tradition of not associating with non-Jews. Like, if they were not Jewish, I don't want to hang out with you. I don't want to talk to you. But we'll notice the context here. Cornelius, he was in the military. He was part of the Roman army. He was not Jewish, but he was a nice guy. He was a good guy, you could say, right? In today's context, we would say he was a really, really good call. He was progressing well. Everyone spoke well of him. So one day he invites his friends and family to come to his house for a meal, and he also invited Peter to come over to talk to them. Now, would Peter go? Well, maybe not, perhaps not. But he had a vision that helped him to understand that he has to view people as potential Christians. Didn't matter where they're from. So notice what he says in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. Acts 10, 34 and 35. It says, "At this, Peter began to speak, and he said, 'Now I truly understand that God is not partial, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him.'" So as we see here, it doesn't matter where you're from. Anyone from any ethnicity is acceptable to Jehovah. So how do we apply this first? Well, we preach to everyone, and we are known for our zealous preaching in literally every part of the world, right? In many different languages. And locally, well, we don't know who is at the doors that we knock on, right? And we give everybody the same opportunity. We call on everyone's doors. Also, we can think of our literature carts. Anyone from any background could approach the carts, grab whatever spiritual material they want. Also, we think about JW.org. Anyone can access that and have spiritual food in any language that they choose. And again, this is all done out of love. So we are known for displaying love. So should you expect perfection among Jehovah's Witnesses? The answer is no. We're not perfect. In fact, we are perfectly imperfect, as the saying goes. And this imperfection reminds me of bananas. You know, I love bananas. I love growing bananas. I have my own banana plantation at home. Anyways, the bananas, sometimes they have blemishes, right? And if you think about it, you might see a blemish and think, oh, I don't want to eat that. This could be rotten, right? There's just a tiny bruise. But sometimes people think that, you know, that tiny bruise means it's garbage, but it's not, right? You just cut off that bruise part, keep peeling, and it's still good, right? The rest of the banana is still good. Now, you wouldn't put the entire bunch of bananas in the garbage because of one tiny blemish. No, that would be ridiculous. You never say something like, oh, that's it. I'm never eating bananas again. Oh, I don't even want to see banana muffins because of one tiny blemish, right? That would be too extreme. But it's the same with our brothers, our imperfect brothers and sisters. We don't write them off because of their errors or their past or their imperfections or their quirks or their personality differences. We don't write them off. All of Jehovah's Witnesses, we are imperfect. And sometimes, yeah, we can't display love perfectly. It happens. But let's read another scripture in Romans chapter 3 and 23. It just reminds us that, yeah, you know what? No one's perfect. Don't expect perfection from anyone. Romans chapter 3 and 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So what does that tell us, right? It reminds us that we are all imperfect. We've all sinned. We've all made an error. Jehovah does not require perfection from imperfect people, and neither should we, right? So let's look at another example. The Apostle Paul and the early Christians, they too were imperfect. So let's look at one of their examples. You probably remember the story. Paul and Barnabas, they had a serious disagreement. In the context, they were planning on doing a really great road trip, right? They're going to visit different cities, and they're going to go around and encourage the brothers and sisters in those congregations. Now, Barnabas, he wanted to bring his friend Mark. Paul said no. And there was a huge blow up, right? Words were exchanged. Let's read the account. Acts chapter 15, verses 39 and 41. It's Acts 15, 39 and 41. There we read, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now return and visit the brothers in every one of the cities where we proclaimed the word of God to see how they are. Barnabas was determined to take along John, who was called Mark. Paul, however, was not in favor of taking him along with them, seeing that he had departed from them in Pamphylia, and he had not gone with them to the work. At this, there was a sharp burst of anger, so that they separated from each other, and Barnabas took Mark along and sailed away to Cyprus. Paul selected Silas and departed after he had been entrusted by the brothers to the undeserved kindness of Jehovah. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the congregations. So that's a very, very interesting account, right? It's somewhat ironic, even awkward, you might say, that these overseers, they were going to go encourage congregations, but they didn't get along. Imagine if that got out, if people knew about this. This is so awkward. It's slightly embarrassing. So why is this pettiness recorded in the Bible? Well, it's written for our benefit today, right? We know eventually Barnabas, Mark, Paul, Silas, they were able to forgive the offense. They looked over it and they came together later on. But the point is, because they were imperfect, they recognized that they make mistakes, and they were able to forgive each other and move on. So the account shows that we are all human. No one's perfect, not even those overseers in those days. And sometimes it happens that we have disagreements, right? It's possible. But it's the love that helps us to resolve these differences. And so today, just like in the past, Jehovah God uses imperfect people to in his ministry and in the congregations. But we have to be humble, right? We have to correct our mistakes and to work to overcome those weaknesses. But what if what if their imperfection really hurts you? Or what if you're really offended? Well, what can you do? Well, we are encouraged to show love by being forgiving, rather than taking offense and getting really upset and getting worked up. We can show love by being freely forgiving. And in the Bible, Jehovah deliberately tells us, guess what? You can expect imperfections from your brothers and sisters in your congregation. Again, we look at this principle in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. Notice what it says there. Colossians 3 and 13. It says, continue putting up with one another and forgiving one another freely, even if anyone has a cause or complaint against another. Just as Jehovah freely forgave you, you must also do the same. Again, it's a very, very practical Bible principle, right? It tells us how we can resolve our conflicts. We notice that word continue. It's a verb, and it means that we must do an action. And that action is, well, continue to put up with one another, right? Really forgiving one another. It's another verb, forgiving. And we notice why in that last sentence. We must do so because Jehovah forgives us. And it's, again, it's not a suggestion. It's a command. You must forgive one another. You have no choice. You have to let go of the offense, no matter what it is. Why? Well, because Jehovah freely forgave us. So we must exercise love by being forgiving to others as well. So we'll take a look at the second image. So look at that for a second. What do you think is going on between these sisters? Well, you can imagine a scenario when one person's imperfection is misunderstood by the other person's imperfection. And perhaps it's escalated and not a blow up and words were said, right? And one sister saying, no, you know, I can't, I don't even want to deal with you right now. Has that ever happened before? Does it only happen with sisters? No, we're all imperfect, like you said, right? It's possible. But when that happens, it gives us an opportunity to show love by being forgiving. Like we said earlier, we must forgive others in order to gain Jehovah's forgiveness. Let's look at another scripture, Matthew chapter 6, 14 and 15, right? Matthew 6, 14 and 15 says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Whereas if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So what does that tell us? Well, we must forgive the errors of our fellow brothers and sisters. Again, we have no choice. We must do it. If we expect Jehovah to forgive us for our sins, then we must be forgiving. And that's what we see in the second half of the image. Whatever the issue was, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who was wrong and who was right or who was more wrong. That doesn't matter at all. We are encouraged to put up with one another and to forgive one another freely. As we read in Colossians 3 and 13, right? Now, all of us, at times, we need forgiveness from one another. And that's how we show love, by being forgiving. Thank you so much for the image. So, true Christians, Christian love, the love that identifies true Christians in our congregation, it covers a multitude of sins, right? Even though it's not always easy to forgive, we know, you know, certain wounds take a while to heal, right? And because of our own imperfections, we might struggle to forgive. But Jehovah can certainly help us to be forgiving. So what can we do? Well, we can ask Jehovah God for help, right? When we pray to God for Holy Spirit, He can certainly give us His Holy Spirit, and that can help us cultivate peace and cultivate patience, mildness, and love. The more we study and the more we apply the principles that we've looked at today and other principles, then that helps us to become better. Notice what we can all do. Let's look at one last reminder to show us how love is encouraging us to be forgiving. We'll turn to Ephesians 4 and verse 32. Ephesians 4 and 32. It says there, but become kind to one another, tenderly compassionate, freely forgiving one another, just as God also by Christ freely forgave you. So as true Christians, we live up to these scriptures, right? Because we are kind to one another. We certainly are. We freely forgive one another. So again, we are certainly encouraged to worship with those who show genuine love, like we see in our congregations today. We said at the beginning of the talk that love identifies a true Christian congregation. And today, you know, you look around the world, you look on the media, you look at the news, we notice that there are many who say they are religious, but sadly, they practice the opposite of genuine love. For instance, a lot of religions would get involved or endorse armed conflicts, right? And when that happens, lots of people suffer. But the point of the talk is to show how love identifies true Christians. And as we saw, that we can identify Christianity by the genuine love amongst Jehovah's people today. And we know that we do demonstrate love. We care for one another in our congregations. We are willing to put up with one another. We're willing to forgive one another. And we are not partial, right? We care for our neighbors in our community. We preach to virtually anybody. But for a moment, think about it. If Jesus walked in through those doors right there, right today, if he came to our meeting, would he recognize us as his followers? Well, yes, we'd have to say yes. He'll say, yeah, these are my people. Yeah. They display love. They are genuine. They are doing what I ask. They are definitely displaying love. So we see it's important to associate with the true Christian congregation. And if we see errors, if we see imperfections in our brothers and our sisters, don't be stumbled by that. We're all imperfect. We all make mistakes. It certainly is refreshing, though, to be amongst our brothers and our sisters, to be united as a group of people who display genuine love. You know, it's like having a nice, warm, cozy blanket on a cold night, like last night. It just makes you feel comfortable. It makes you feel secure. It makes you feel good, right? And again, it's that love, that identifying mark that helps us to feel that way. Let's see how it's described for us as we read together Colossians chapter 3. And this time we will read verse 14. And again, imagine that nice, warm, cozy blanket. It says, "But besides all these things, clothe yourself with love, for it is a perfect bond of union," right? So as we see, love, it has that power to create unity. And like we said, it's like a warm, fuzzy blanket. And that's exactly like how we feel when we visit a congregation anywhere around the world, any country. You go to a congregation, you're going to feel that love. And you know you're amongst true Christians. You know, when you attend a meeting or an assembly, you just feel that energy, that vibe, and you just feel good, right? You know it's the truth. You know you're amongst people that love you and that love Jehovah. Well, look at our last image. Now, this young man, again, having that feeling, right? He's being welcomed to a meeting. Now, let's think. Perhaps this is his first time in a kingdom hall. And yeah, he'll notice instantly that we are different. Our place of worship, it's not ostentatious. It's plain. It's humble. It's warm. It's cozy. No one in here is going to judge him or make him feel bad, right? Everyone's going to be nice. Everyone's going to be kind. Everyone's going to be loving. He will not remember what was said at the meeting. He definitely won't remember anybody's names, for sure. Too many people. But he will remember the love that was displayed amongst our congregations and the love that was shown to him, right? And that's how it feels. When you're among true Christians, you just feel love. It's like that warm, fuzzy blanket. So thank you for creating that atmosphere, right? People, we are known for that, to have that genuine love being displayed. Thank you for the image. So we are all encouraged to worship God with the true Christian congregations, right here in our congregations amongst our brothers and our sisters, and to obey Jesus' command to always show genuine love.